Tonight is quite a unique study of the Minchas Chinuch, because it's the only mitzvah of all the mitzvahs of the Sefer where there is no Minchas Chinuch. He skips this one.
Wow.
But the Minchas Chinuch skips it, so we're going to do the Sefer. Okay, so it's the first page I sent out. Now, if you see, I sent out this week and next week's, because this week is to believe in God. Next week's is not to believe in anything but God. So it might be shy to learn those two together, but okay. But
the mitzvah to believe in God is itself a very difficult, almost contradictory concept.
Quite so. So it's interesting that the Minchas Chinuch chooses not to discuss anything about it. There are lots of things he could have discussed, not least of which whether it's a mitzvah to begin with. All right, but he is commenting on the Sefer HaChinuch, and the Sefer HaChinuch says it is a mitzvah. It's mitzvah number 25. Okay. And he calls it Mitzvahs Ha'amanah B'mitziyut Hashem Yisbarach, or Ha'emuna b'mitziyut Hashem Yisbarach. It's a mitzvah to believe in the existence of God. Okay, let's see what that means. Okay, the Sefer HaChinuch divides this mitzvah essentially into three parts, and they fit very neatly into the three parts of the pasuk that he says teaches this. Okay, the pasuk is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hutzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Yibeis Avodim. The first of the Aseres Hadibros. Now we'll break this shir into two parts. The second part will be this pasuk doesn't sound like a mitzvah. This pasuk sounds like a statement. It doesn't tell us what to do. Right? It doesn't tell us what. So what? Okay, thank you. I see your God, but. What does it mean? What am I supposed to do about that? Okay. If someone is angry with God because of the Holocaust, does that mean he believes in God? Yeah. He can say, I cannot believe that there is a God, because if there was a God, then I don't believe he'd allow such things. Now, Christianity and Zoroastrianism have an easy way out, because Christianity teaches that there is an Antichrist who sometimes gets a free hand to do these things. And Zoroastrianism believes in a bad God with powers equal to the good God, who is strengthened by the deeds of bad people. That bad God is called Hormuzd. The good God is called Mazda. So the two gods are strengthened or weakened by the things that people do. All right, if a good Persian is acting the way the Persian high priest says that a good Persian should act, then Mazda is strengthened. By the way, as simple as that sounds, Judaism is not so different than that, right? We believe that our performance of mitzvahs, our morality, strengthens God, kivayochol, to do the things that his Shechina in our midst will do and will cause the successes that Shechina causes. Right? But if widows and orphans are abused, then that Shechina departs from the place. And then Israel is given to the regular vicissitudes of either battle or famine or rain or whatever it is.
I mean, it doesn't affect the God in any way. It's his throughout the Shekhinah, but he himself is unaffected.
Of course, that's the difference. The Persian really thinks that his act has an effect on the deity. Right? His act actually changes or has an actual effect on the deity. It says in the Torah that Noach matzochein b'nei Hashem, and the rest of the world, not so much. But it's that's for that's to break our ear. That's lishbora to ozen. In terms of God Himself, it's not
right. That was the point you were making on Shabbos about the pagan belief in magic in order to force the hand of the pagan gods.
Right. So how is that different than tzaddik gozer v'Hashem mekayem? Right? You ever hear that saying? Tzaddik gozer v'Hashem mekayem. Like Eliyahu makes a gzera, Eliyahu makes a decree, and God makes it happen. God made there's a story in Tanakh where Gentiles act in that way. When the Philistines sent back the ark, and they put it on the backs of cows, and they put their young on one road leading back to the Philistia, and the other road was leading back to Beit Shemesh, and they said, if the cows turn towards their young, then that's a sign that all of this was coincidental. And if the cows turn away from their young, then that's a sign it was the God of Israel. And God made the cows take a straight line into Israel. Right? Okay? So take a look at Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Dalet for a good exposition of all that entailed. All right, so let's see these three things that the Chinuch says this first pasuk articulates. The first one is Anochi Hashem. Hashem Elokecha are really two different things, and the Anochi is significant, that we little amoebas that we are, can perceive some element of this. We're initiated into understanding what Hashem is, what Elokecha is. Now let's go back to some of the early narratives in Sefer Bereishis. God appeared to Adam, he appeared to Cain, God appeared to Noah, and they understood God in a certain way, right? There was an idea in the minds first of Cain to thank this God that had the power to make his crops succeed, right? And then Hevel came along, right? And then Noah understood God with immense power to wipe out all of life on earth. What chiddush did Avraham make? Was it just that people between Noah and Avraham forgot God? What was Avraham's chiddush? So Avraham says the Gemara in Brachas was the first to use the Lashon Adon. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Before that, certainly no one speaks that Lashon. Avraham understood the mastery. Right? So what mazeh? So here is how the Sefer HaChinuch explains it. Anochi Hashem. Hashem is the Mamtzi HaKol, the essence of existence. The Chinuch doesn't say this, but I think the Chiddush was already told to Moshe at the burning bush. Because when Moshe asked God's name, what did he say? He only used the future. Eheyeh asher eheyeh. In him is all existence. Because for us, you know, ha'avar kfar ayin, ha'hoveh kifheref ayin. All we have is the future, right? So eheyeh asher eheyeh. I will be as I am perceived. Right? Esi is percipi. We are as we are perceived. So it's the essence of God is Anochi Yudke Vovke is as it is wrapped up in time, in the past, in the present, and the future. That's what the Yudke Vovke is. It's a combination of all three times. We can't really understand that. Right? So that's the Anochi Hashem.
Rabbi, didn't Avraham also promulgate God's beneficence to the world, right? Hashafei kol haaretz.
Yeah. Okay. That's an offshoot of this element of Adon that okay. Man has this right to challenge that Adnus. Was God just going to wipe out and destroy Sodom just like this, without giving anyone a chance?
Rabbi.
Hashem wants Avraham to argue, just like he wants us to get involved.
Rabbi, I might have misunderstood. Did Abraham? Did he was the first one with the Yud Kei Vav Kei? Understanding that, or
no, the first one with Aleph Dalet Nun.
Oh, okay. You heard you said that. I just wasn't sure. Okay, thank you.
Okay, now it does say in Shmos, Hashem tells Moshe, Va'era el Avraham ve'el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov be'el Shaddai u'shmi Adonai lo nodati lahem. Right? I appear to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with a particular name. Now, the word Yudke Vavke does appear in conversation between God and the patriarchs. It's just that when God introduces himself directly, not Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, but Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, Ani el Shaddai. Vayomer Hashem el Yaakov, Ani el Shaddai, pray Urvei. Right? So some of the good commentaries, especially adding to their commentaries to Rus, and to some Psukim in Yecheskel, point out that the rare times where Shin Dalad Yud appears, the book in the Tanakh where it appears the most is Eov, is a book where God appears in a natural order, but especially when it comes to progeny and fertility. Right? Ani El Shaddai, pray Urvei. Right? Who is the one who takes away Naomi's children? Hemar Shaddai Li Ma'od, which may be actually a play on words, right? You get the play on words that she's saying, but, right? I nursed these children and they were born. I remember them, raising them, and now I have to outlive them. Right? So of all the things, she says, Hemar Shaddai Li Ma'od. Okay?
Right.
So it's not only a play on words of God's name, but also on her loss of children. Okay, so that's those. That so far we have the Hashem that's the Mamtzi Hakol. Then the Chinuch says Anochi Hashem. The next thing is Elokecha, the prime cause, the powerful cause, who just took you out of Egypt, and I demonstrate the truth of one and two. To demonstrate the truth of the essence of existence and the one that's all powerful by taking you out of Egypt. There's the proof. Okay, and I saw this in the Maharam Shik. He says that the three parshas of the Shema do the same thing. The first parsha, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is like an introduction, right, of the events, the essence of existence. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It adds that he's unique, right? So the first line of Shema is like the first two dibros together, right? I am, and no one else has that kind of essence. Okay, nothing else can have that essence. And then you have the second one, which speaks about the all-powerful nature of God because he can reward and punish. He's the one who, only he is the one who can on that level with full authority, with no one to stand in his way, reward and punish. And take down the haughty Sancheirib, for instance, with probably a small little pandemic in his camp and wipe out 185,000 in one night. Right. And then, so that's the second parasha. The third parasha is back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Asher Otzeichem Eretz Mitzrayim. So the three parshas of the Shema, says the Maharam Shik, is actually the embodiment of what the Sefer HaChinuch says is the first pasuk in the Aseret HaDibros. Okay? And it's the mitzvah of Amunah, Amen, Emes, Hashem Elokim Emes, as Yirmiyahu says. To come to this understanding is the fulfillment of this mitzvah. But it goes beyond this. And I'll explain why. Because some hold that this isn't a mitzvah. Especially since Amunah is a very private Indian. You either believe or you don't believe. Right? Someone's angry with God. Does that person believe? In other words, belief is a very, very, very difficult concept. Do you believe that you you're sitting in a chair right now? Do you believe that Rene Descartes taught us to have methodical doubt to the point that the only thing you can be sure of is that you're thinking, right? And yet the Yerushalmi in Chagiga says on the pasuk Osios Vum Mikor Mayim Chaim, pasuk in Yirmiyahu chapter 2, Halavai Osios Vum Mikor Mayim Chaim, Baal Tazovas HaTorah. In other words, belief, okay, it's an important thing. It's a preamble to the Aseret HaDibros. Here I am. Now I have the right to give you mitzvahs. But belief is a very complicated thing. Why would anyone perform mitzvahs if he doesn't believe in God? I don't know, but belief is more likely, is not as likely to bring you to perform the mitzvahs than performing the mitzvahs will bring you to belief. God, it's very easy for God to command actions. It's not so easy for God to command thoughts and beliefs. And the way to believe is obviously, you're not just going to come to it in a moment, right? I know a very intelligent professor, one tier down from Nobel Prize winning mathematician. And when he contemplated that the Torah was given before masses of people, unlike the main belief events in Christianity and Islam, right? Anybody here know enough about Christianity to know what is the most essential belief in Christianity?
The resurrection?
Yeah. Jesus rose from the dead, right? Who saw that? If it's so essential, why didn't it appear in front of hundreds and thousands of people? Or at least right there on the spot. Instead, in the New Testament, an old screaming lady who is considered mad is the only one who witnessed this. What about Islam? What is their essential tenet of faith? Most essential, I'd say. If ours is Matan Torah, yes, Mitzrayim maybe, Matan Torah.
Either, there's no God but God and Muhammad is his prophet or that all is like Mektub, everything is, foreordained in Shemayim.
Yeah, those are belief systems. I'm saying an historical event. I've asked Muslims this. I asked an imam, and he said to him, it's that Muhammad flew up on the horse from the distant mosque, which now they believe is Harabais, but it doesn't say so. It's the late, very end of the Quran that he went from the distant mosque.
And why isn't then Yerushalayim the most holy place for them rather than the third?
Because the name of that distant mosque became Jerusalem much later. The name Jerusalem doesn't appear in the Quran. Be it as it may, that, according to the Quran, wasn't witnessed by anybody. So this mathematician said, you mean the Torah has the chutzpah to say that it was delivered in front of the entire nation? Then it must be true. And he's a from man today. This is an old argument. This is the Kuzari's argument, right? The Kuzari's argument that we could say all of a sudden at one point in history, okay, everybody, let's have this small group of in an inner circle of 12 people, and we're going to put forth a hoax that there was once a thing called Matan Torah in front of everybody, right? And they'll all accept it from now on, right? Okay. Now, the fact is that Matan Torah is not an event that is so clearly referenced in the prophets. It's in Habakkuk, Tehillim, Shiras Devorah. That's about it. All right? Because Matan Torah is not to be replicated. Happened once, ain't there's no good, not going to be any Torah Acheres, Meis Habaris, Baruch Shmo.
Yeah, but even Matan Torah, how long did that Amunah last?
The Horaya, that things need
fell apart very quickly.
Constant renewal. That's why it says, teach your son and your son's son, son's son, Yom Asher Amadata Lifnei Hashem Lekecha B'Chorev. That's the proof of Matan Torah. My father told me. I know Matan Torah the same way I know the Holocaust. Okay. All right, and yet, throughout history, this is really where I was moving right now, It says, Osios vumakor mayim chayim lachtsov behem boros barosa shelo yachilu hamayim. They leave me, the source of true spring water, to go to seek out broken cisterns that can't hold on to water. Why would anyone prefer that? The answer is, Yodim ha'yu Yisrael, shein mamash b'avod zara ela lahatirim gilu yarayis b'faresya. Because the Jews knew that avod zara was nonsense and worthless. But it was extremely enticing. It involved the gilu yarayos. So why doesn't God allow gilu yarayos in the temple? Why not? Why not give us some fun? You'll hold on to more people. Right? Why not allow a little strange fire once in a while?
Moshe says it's not because you're the largest. He's not interested in numbers.
This is most definitely true. While I have a suspicion that at least classical Christianity wants to spread the good news to everyone on earth, sometimes through coercion. Islam wants everybody to serve Allah, to make a perfect world. But we have no such compunction whatsoever. We do not care if more than one half or one third of 1% of the world population keeps Shabbos. Just interested that whoever's mother's Jewish, that person keeps Shabbos. And that everybody else keeps seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Rav Yaakov Emden says an amazing chiddush. He says that Christianity and Islam, I mean, this is pretty much in the Rambam too. Christianity and Islam served a very important purpose. They were capable of spreading the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach to everyone in the world much better than we were. We were not capable. It was never our job to spread 613 mitzvahs to the whole world. We see from the story of Rus. We see from the Ezra and Nehemiah. We turn aside converts. Right? We make it very difficult for them. Right? You'd be surprised to go undercover into a mosque and say, I want to become a Muslim. They'll make it very easy for you. Right? So we want to do is give the world just a sense of what the seven mitzvahs has been in Noah. And next week I'm going to elaborate on that. Okay? So let's get back to Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. I am as I am internally. That's what my essence is. And then that's Hashem, Anochi Hashem. Elokecha, in second person, meaning something with you, something of yours. This is your God. Get it? That's as you see me externally. So therefore, the next step is what Hashem told Moshe at the burning bush, Ta'avdu Neselukim Baharazeh. You're going to serve me at this mountain to receive my mitzvahs. This is the essence of Emunah. Okay? But how can the notzar fully understand the yotzer? Does the pottery vessel fully understand the potter? You recognize the prayer on Kol Nidre evening? I think it's one of the most beautiful prayers of the year.
Yotzer biyad, huh?
Right. Kine yotzer biyad. Kine
chomer. Yeah, it is. It's really beautiful.
Right, the five lines, it says,
right,
that, like, we're like the glass vessel in the hands of the glass blower. And it's so, each one of those lines is so prescient. And it's taken from a chapter in Yirmiyahu, chapter 18, where Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to go to the potter and describe what you see. And I remember when they brought a potter to camp once, and you know, you're making, and if you're not good at it, you know what happens, right? You ever try it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes out all...
And if throwing you're lucky, a pot is harder than it looks.
Yes.
It's a lot harder.
If you're lucky, you get to start all over. And you know, you have still some clay in your hand that's all mushed up again.
Right.
But that's what we are. So the best we could do is to learn Torah, is to learn the essence of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. So here, that was the first part of this year. Ad Kan is the Rambam, the Sefer HaChinuch, and the Ramban. Ramban was the Sefer HaChinuch's Rebbe, which is that this is one of 613 mitzvahs. However, well before these three, perhaps the first one to make a list of mitzvahs, right? Rav Shimon Kayara, right? Remember the name of his famous book? It's the Bahag, right? Okay. Rav Shimon Kayara says that this is not a mitzvah. He did not count it as one of the 613 mitzvahs. He says it's a preamble, an introduction to why you should keep the other mitzvahs. But it's not a mitzvah on its own. And on this score, this is broken down into two kinds of commentaries. One that says so for philosophical reasons. And one that says it possibly for exegetical reasons. Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher etzeicha me'etz Mitzrayim does not sound like a mitzvah. Okay? Does not sound like a mitzvah. So the Rambam doesn't count it. Okay. So the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim, the Drushas Haran, he says that Anochi, maybe he says some kind of compromise. He says Anochi, he counts it as a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah called Emunah. Of course we have to have Emunah. Otherwise, we wouldn't do any of the mitzvahs. Who would do any mitzvah if he doesn't have emunah? All right, I mentioned the Yerushalmi about 20 minutes ago that said otherwise, but this is what the Ran says. The mitzvah is that the one who created the world and took us out of Egypt gave us the Torah, and that creator controls all the events of the world. It's sort of a combination of why Shabbos in Aseres Adibros and Shmos is Zecher Lamase Bereshis, and Aseres Adibros and Devarim is Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. Take a look. Zecher Lamase, and when we make Kiddush on Friday night, we say both of them, right?
Right.
And you probably have to wonder, how is keeping Shabbos Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim? I know how it's Zecher Lamase Bereshis, but how is Shabbos Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim? So according to the Ran, they're connected, right? In other words, the Ran, I think, wants to, whether or not he was aware of Aristotle's picture of the deity, right? Because Aristotle did believe in God, but he did not believe in a personal God. He did not believe in an involved God. There was a God who had to set certain orders of nature and certain rules of the universe. And he's still out there, but he's not really engaged. And the Ran, of course, wants to inculcate the sense in his readers and his students that there is a very much an involved God. Hamechadesh betuva b'chol yom tamid maaseh bereishis. Shneamar lo seorim gedolim ki lo olam chasdo. Lo seorim gedolim ki lo olam chasdo. You hear it? Lo say. He's constantly doing it. I would like to digress to tell you something cute. Disappears in my sefer, my parsha sefer that's coming out. Little plug this coming Bereshis, and on Lech Lecha, I have the following. I'm sure you're all familiar with Midrashim about Avraham recognizing that all these powers attributed to X, to Y, to Z, all must come from the same source, right? You're familiar with that kind of stuff, right? So the first thing the Rambam explains in the laws of Avodah Zarah, which he calls the laws of Avodat Kochavim. A guy used to be called an Akum, right? An Akum for Avodas Kochavim. Because the ancient man looked up at the sky while he was tending his flocks at night, and he looked up and he made out these pictures in the sky, right? He made one for every month, right? And he saw certain planets that moved in a different way than others and saw certain trends that continued, and they started to attribute powers to these things, right? So the closest thing that they recognized were known as the Kochvei Lechet. Does that sound familiar?
That's a planet.
Kochvei Lechet. Huh?
Is that planets? And
planets, yes, because the other stars they saw were fixed. The Big Dipper is always there. The North Star is always there. These constellations are always there, or at certain times of year. But they saw that this Kochvei Lechet, it's not by the time of year. Of course not, because Mars takes more than a year to circle the to come back into close to our orbit. And Venus is closer is shorter than Earth, so Venus is more predictable, right? But anyway, they were aware of Earth plus seven Kochvei Lechet. In each one of these Kochvei Lechet were attributed with certain powers. Let's see if you recognize any of them. What was Jupiter's power? What's Jupiter called?
Zeus.
Jupiter is Tzedek. Right? Tzedek. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, right before Mashiach comes, Tzedek will be smitten. Which we've always understood to mean said that righteous or justice will be perverted. No, that's not what it means. It means that an asteroid is going to ram into Jupiter. Remember that happened some years back? You know what I'm talking about? Remember, this is about 10 years ago, remember? It would have, if there's life on Jupiter, it doesn't exist anymore after that. Right? You know, like that asteroid that wiped out the dinosaurs? Jupiter just had one of those a few years ago.
Yes.
And it wasn't a sideswipe like that one. It was a direct hit. Wow. Okay? So you get it? Tzedek was smitten. Okay, that's Tzedek. What's Mars?
Shabtai
is Saturn.
Sorry.
Shabbos,
I'm sorry.
Saturday.
I misheard. Right.
Mars has got to be war, something.
War, happened. Of course. Madim, blood.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Okay, so anyway, but you're familiar with this. The moon is Chodesh, is renewal. The sun is Refuah, right? So they saw these Kochvei Leches with the sun and the moon. And listen to this. We say it every day. When you say it tomorrow morning, think of this and smile. We say, Ki hu levado, poel givuros, osech hadashos, ba'al milchamos, zorea tzedakos, matmiach yeshuos, borei refuos, noros tehilos, adona niflos, eight things. There's a plan to earth and eight seven powers. Each one. Yep. Abraham was the one who found it and described it and said, no, all these powers must be in the same thing. So that is...
I never knew that till just now, that's what that's a reference to.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It's one of those. Yeah, some needs a little more creativity, right? The Brayer Feroz is obviously the sun. Osech HaDashos is the moon. Baal Milchamos, very easy, is Mars. Zoreat Stakos is Jupiter. But you see, Matzmiach Yishos is Venus, according to this source. But, okay, so that's the run. And I'm going to, the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvahs Ketanos, that's Rav Korbil, 15th century, he says that I am the Anochi that you recognize. You must know me. I'm not, that's not like I'm new to you. Chevra, newsflash, before this event, there's a pasuk that says, V'yaminu v'ashem u'v'moshe avdo. They did, and obviously the people left Egypt had some kind of, they were very, let's say they had a slave mentality. They knew how to complain. But I like the perush of, it's actually a Chassam Sofer, who says that the Jews complained about the man after they had no food for 3 days. Right? Did you see my message for today? Today is the day that the man began to fall, according to the Seder.
Isn't also like the Pakod Pakadati Yosef said, told them that someone, you know, Hashem will come and say Pakod Pakadati. That was like the code phrase.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why they believed.
Yes. Right.
So belief is a complicated thing, but you know, you have to go into the lab, make a test tube, and you know, and then you believe. Right, so the Smak says, I'm the one you knew before as the creator. I'm in control of all events. That's Hashem Elokecha. And in the course of controlling these events, I took you out of Egypt. Then, you know, then the philosopher has to ask, God, why all that? Why not just, you know, let Yaakov stay in Israel and start a nation right there? Right? That's part of God's plan. That there should be a Yetzias Mitzrayim right before Matan Torah. Okay, so the mitzvah is to develop a faith that will stand up for us in difficult times. Now, God knows all things, right? And he also knows that the people leaving Egypt are not just there yet. Right?
Understand.
The sign of that was their rush to say Naaseh v'nishma. By buying in so quickly, just to say Naaseh v'nishma, it's like easy come, easy go. You sure? Are you sure? Don't you want to know what's in it? Like the Goyim, right? Remember that medrash in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah? That right, when God right. offered the Torah, Hashem Yisinai Bav, Ezrach Miseir Olamo, Ofir Meparon, Vasim Rivos Kodesh. He offered it to the Yishmaelim, and one source even to Moabites, and then the Esav, and then each one asked him what's in it. And as soon as they saw that there's something in it they felt they couldn't do, they rejected it. Bnei Yisrael just said Naaseh v'nishma. Of course, God hadn't taken any of them out of Egypt. That's precisely the point. The miracles that we had seen, now get this, this will hope to bring to mind to you a famous medrash. The miracles they had seen had kibayochol created a mountain placed above our heads that coerced us into receiving the Torah, as if though it would fall on our heads if we didn't. That's what the medrash means according to Bechor Shor when it says, kof aleihem har kegigis. Right? The coercion that was not there in the Purim story, by the way, the medrash says in Maseches Megillah, not so much Megillah, but in Maseches Shabbos, in Perek Amar Rabbi Akiva, in Shabbos Daf Pei Zayin, that it's the story of Purim that binds us to Torah, because there was no coercion, kiviyochol. It's kimu mashikiblu kvar. We accepted all that was upon us without that coercion, so to say, because the Purim story doesn't involve any outright miracles. Okay? So the question is, what does this pasuk add, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher yotzeicha me'eretz Mitzrayim, what does this pasuk add that we had not yet declared at Yam Suf, v'yaminu b'Hashem u'v'Moshe avdo? Because at that event, that's where Chazal say, every single shifcha saw more than Yechezkel saw at Masa Merkava. Every shifcha. So that just shows that it was too easy. Everything up to now came too easy for them. So I want you to work at Emunah. Emunah is not something so, it's very easy, easy come, easy go. This seems to be what the Rasha is doing at the Seder. Why do we call him that Kofar Bikar? Fisho, see it, that's Momin HaKlal, Kofar Bikar. What's the Rush? What's this kid's heresy? Because he says, Ma'avada Zos Lachem, Lachem Velo Lo. He didn't feel part of the group. So I think you can say that the Lochem, yes, that is something. Yerushalmi says that he says, Maha Tircha Hazu, Maha Yedet HaAvodah. He looks at Jewish observance as Avodah. This pasuk is trying to teach us to see Jewish observance as perpetuating, Jewish observance as the essence of continuity. This kid doesn't see it. Right? So he thinks it's avoda. The smart kid classifies it. He says there's eidos, chukim, mishpatim. Right? So lochem is okay. I might think that when he says mahavada hazos, stress the zos. You ever hear this parish? I read it in Nirvaran Lichtenstein. He says mahavada hazos. He says, I agree that we should. You know, we're good people. We should commemorate this. We should look after the people who are downtrodden. And there are people who are oppressed, right? This world is all world so good. Everyone has a grievance, right? But Mahavadah Hazos, what's that? Get that egg out of there. Put an orange up there. What's that? What's that that green stuff? Put a slice of pineapple. There's no color on this plate. Have you seen such Haggadahs? Like the there is a Haggadah now for every aggrieved group. You familiar? You ever see them?
Yeah.
I actually collect Haggadahs, and I have a whole section of these. Yep, I have a good 30, 40 of these Haggadahs. They're very funny. And they have, each one has its own special Seder plate. And you know what the most important prayer in the whole Haggadah is that they've reconstituted is Dayenu. Right? Mm-hmm. You ever see their Dayenus?
Some.
But listen, I'm just I could be as much for the civil rights movement and the great advances this country made from the bad, dark days of the 50s, 60s, not to mention the 20s, 30s, not to mention the 1850s. But this is our night. This is just, so he says, I think there should be a different kind of observance for a different oppressed. The Jews aren't oppressed anymore. So what are we doing with this Haggadah? Well, come on. There are bigger fish to fry now. Yeah. For that matter, I'd like people to go after the countries that currently enslave black people. Because they are. There are.
We don't talk about that.
No, but they're enslaved now.
Sadly not.
Yeah.
Right now.
The whole Arabian Peninsula. So.
What's with that? So anyway, so that is really the essence of this emunah, and because the Russia is mocking, he wants to take a step back. He doesn't want to take this to the next step, which is Eidos Chukim Mishpatim. To him, it's just avoda.
Well, I don't know if you remember your Bartara on Hotzi at Atzmo, that it was Gittin.
Yeah.
With so what he's saying, he's an atheist. Hosius Atzmon in a cloud is really saying God, he's a materialist. There is no Hosius in a cloud from all of the whole world. That's why he's called the Ikar, because he's denying the existence of God. It's exactly the opposite of Enochi Hashem Lokecho.
Exactly. So the Atzmo becomes, this is a homiletic interpretation, the word Atzmo becomes like a
euphemism. A
Now, the pshat in the Haggadah is that the Chacham mentions Hashem Elokeinu and the Rasha doesn't. So juxtaposing those two boys, it seems that the Chacham is willing to put God in the equation and the Rasha takes him out of the equation.
No, totally, totally. He is like a Marxist. So, there's no God. There's no...
Right. So the Gemara that Howard is referring to is a Gemara in Gittin that says that when Titus entered the Kodesh Kodashim. Remember what it says in the Gemara he did? He took a whore with him because he felt that, the temples in Rome, the holiest places, is where the gods consort. So I'm going to consort with my whore in the Kodesh Kodashim. He takes her and he's very disappointed because he sees absolutely nothing in there. And he slashes the parochas, which probably has mounds and mounds of blood from all the sprinkling, over the Yom Kippurs. And what happened? It says that the parochas sprouted blood.
Right.
The chashav sheharag et atzmo.
Right. Atzmo is a euphemism for God.
God.
Right. Now we can't say those words. Which is what the Nazis wanted to do. That was their ultimate plan.
Right.
Christians beware. Right. So when we say that about the fisho tziat atzmo min haklal, we take these few small words that this guy says, and because the Haggadah is such a profound homiletical text, we're able to make all these drushes. So much comes out of this one little statement of his, right? So but the important thing is that he's antithetical to what the Smak and the Ran say that this pasuk is saying, even if it's not a mitzvah. Is that this is meant to drive you to the observance of mitzvahs, which may explain why we have to clench this kid's teeth. Because, this is, we're eating the Korban Pesach at the table. And the Korban Pesach is, there's a wide leeway for who gets to eat it, but you have to be circumcised. You can't be a bench nechar, shenisnacher. We did these mitzvahs before, 8, 10, 9, 10 weeks ago. But if you, this is how you're going to behave. You can have dessert, but you can't. I mean, you can have dinner, but you can't have the dessert, which is the Korban Pesach, right? Okay, so that's the. It's important to fit the Russia at the Seder into the scheme of how we were supposed to understand Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Okay, so we've done two things so far. We've done the Rambam, Ramban, and the Chinuch. On one side, we've done the Bahag, the Ran, the Smak on the other side. And Ran is some kind of a combination. Now, what's left for us to do is to try to explain why the Rambam changed his Lashon. Now, this is what I think I sent this out to you, right? You see the Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. He begins his Mishnah Torah by saying, Yesod HaYesodos V'Amud HaChachmos Leida Sheyesh Sham Matsui Rishon. Right? It's the foundation of all beliefs for the Jew to know that there is a prime cause. V'hu mamtzi kol nimtza, he causes everything else to exist. V'chol nimtzaim mishamayim v'aretz, everything in the universe exists because of that cause. Right? Masha b'neihem, everything between the heavens and the earth, lo nimtza'u ela me'amitat himatza'o. Only exist because of the truth of his existence. So that's the Lashon is Leida, to know this. And yet, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the source right under that, you see it? It says Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam, Mitzvah Aseh Aleph. By the way, do you notice that the Rambam, the first four words in the Mishnah Torah, you see the Rosh HaTevos?
Yeah, the Yudkei Vavkei.
The Yudkei Vavkei wants to bring home this this essence of existence. You see it? Yud, Yesod, HaYesodos. Okay, the second source I gave you was Sefer HaMitzvahs L'Rambam, where he says, HaMitzvah HaRishona Hi HaTzivui Asher Tzivanu L'Ha'amin HaElohus V'Hushna'amin SheYesham Allah V'Siba Hu Po'el Akol. Okay? Mitzvah to believe. What's the difference here? Why did the Rambam talk about a mitzvah to know and a mitzvah to believe?
In the Mishnah Torah, he's taking on Aristotle and that the earth was here forever. I mean that's his right. That's his big one of his big distinctions. How he takes on Aristotle.
So in you see in Plato's Republic, Socrates disagrees with this concept. He's on Aristotle's side, or Aristotle's on his side, of course. Is that they had no formulation. They couldn't fathom this idea of Yesh Me'ayin. You know, Howard sent me a note today and said, if you don't believe in God, why should you believe in a Yesh more than an Ayin?
You can't explain why there is an Ayin. Why isn't it all Ayin?
Why isn't it all Ayin? You know, why is there a Yesh? Right? And maybe it is Ayin. Maybe this is all maybe we're all solipsists.
But the Aristotelian view was that it was the earth is here forever and has been here forever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the Rambam is saying, no, there was a creator.
Yep.
No, well, it's that God created the world out of this pre-existing earth. That's, they would translate Bereshit Bara that the earth already existed.
Right, right.
But, and that God has shaped it.
Right. Yeah, no, that's right. But
this is agreement. Yeah, you're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But that's why it's interesting that although this was not needed grammatically, because in Greek, the subject precedes the verb like in English. You know what I'm talking about? One of the 19 changes made when the Septuagint was written for a Greek-speaking audience was they changed Bereshis Bara Elokim to Elokim Bara Bereshis. Because Bereshis Bara Elokim might drive someone to the erroneous conclusion that something called Bereshis
created God,
created Elokim, kiviyochol.
Well, you also have a problem that Bereshit is actually could be interpreted as a smichut, and it's not Baraj, but Baro Elokim at the Shemayim Gat Aretz.
Rashi, yeah, Rashi.
So the beginning of God's, right, God's creating heaven and earth, the earth was born out form, would we support the Greek view? So we had to change it to, or the King James Bible will also change it.
Yeah. Well, now you see in the Stone Chumashim, they usually translate the first Pasuk, in the beginning of God's creation of heaven and earth, the earth was
told. That's Harris. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Yeah.
That's how they translate it.
Because that's saying that. Yeah, no, I mean, that may be literally correct, but that's why I'm sure, I'm absolutely convinced that the King James translators knew that that's the probably the correct translation, but didn't want to deny Yesh Me'ayin.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed it to, in the beginning,
God created.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why Rashi, unlike Rashbam or Ibn Ezra, resorted to the drash.
Right, right.
It's Bishbir Reish. Because that's should have way, said Barishonah. Right. Okay. Okay, so.
Are there any people who deny that it's a mitzvah altogether? I mean, totally, the Anochi?
The Bahag does not count it as one of the mitzvahs. I mean, it's obviously something about a preamble to introduce why do I have the right to give you these mitzvahs? And that's what connects to Yetzias Mitzrayim.
But that's conceptually, how can you but if you don't believe in mitzvah, then how can you have a concept of a mitzvah?
Yeah, so that's it. So is there a mitzvah to believe that there is a mitzvah who commands us these things?
No, but it commanded us to believe that there is a mitzvah.
It's not a mitzvah, it's a condition, says the
right, Bible. Right. So that's why it wouldn't be, it makes more sense that actually, the Catholics, I don't know about the Protestants, they don't count this as a mitzvah. They start with two, what we consider to be two.
Yeah, you could see you can see the Ten Commandments in the churches.
But the nafkamina is, what if you don't believe? Then are the mitzvahs binding? In other words, if there's a mitzvah to believe in a mitzvah, then you have to believe that there's a mitzvah and then everything flows from
right,
that.
So I think it was right before you came on, Aaron, I mentioned the Yerushalmi Chagiga that says, Osio zvu mekor mayim chayim, Halavai, Osios v'makom ayim chayim v'tishmura mitzvahs.
Yeah, but also I think what you said was it's much easier, or probably kind of doing the mitzvahs bring you to emunah rather than the other way around.
Yeah. So that fits well with Rav Chaim Brisker's explanation for why the Rambam didn't count Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim as a daily mitzvah. Because he feels that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is gufa the mitzvah of Amunah. Right? He says that the daily mitzvah, Laman Tizkor Yom Tizkor Meretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha, is tied up as the mitzvah in Amunah. And basically the idea of Chayav Adam Laharos or Liros Esatzmo Ki Luhu Yotzam Mitzrayim, that we all have to imagine that we left Egypt, is fulfilled every day when we say Baruch Ato Hashem Go'al Yisrael, and then we say Baruch Ato Hashem Go'el Yisrael. That when I say Yancho Hashem B'yom Tzara, that it's a day of my existential problems and my daily issues, and I could never get past them without your help, God. That's my Mitzrayim. Ina Meitzar Karosiyah. That's my Mitzrayim. I have more than one, so it's Mitzrayim. The country Egypt is called Mitzrayim is because the Nile Delta, right? You can feel the Nile, which starts down at the bottom and it flows up. So the north, right? The northern part was really south. The upper Nile was south.
Well, the south is a higher elevation.
When I was a kid, I could understand this on a map, how the Nile could flow up.
Right. Well, it's the elevation, but in the ancient times, and pretty much even today, you can't live too far off the Nile. The rest of the country is very inhospitable to agrarian efforts. Egypt has a lot of people today, so they've built it out, and they have dams and other things like that. But the time of Tanakh,
right, the habitation Egypt, was very close to the Nile.
Yeah, it was like Las Vegas or Atlantic City or something. You know, it wasn't too far on either side, right? So it was a very narrow place called the Meitzar, and because there was an upper Nile and a lower Nile, so they were called Mitzrayim. The two Meitzars together were called Mitzrayim. But we have our Meitzar each and every day. It's interesting that the Bavli does not comment on, does not bring this down, but the Yerushalmi does. And Rashi and Daf Daled Maseches Brachos cites this Yerushalmi that the reason why we have to be somech ke'ula l'tfila, when we say Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael and immediately start davening, is hinted in Tehillim. Chapter 19 ends, Hashem Tzuri v'go'ali, ke'ula, right? So you have the brachas of Shemana Yisrael, you have 19th bracha, and then the 20th, which is Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara, which is tefila. The essence of tefila is yom tzara. Remember, we talked once before about the machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether it's a daily mitzvah, the daven. The Rambam says it is. The Ramban says, no, that doesn't mean serve God with your heart. It means when you serve God by wearing tefillin, by shaking a lulav, by a long shofar, do it with your heart. It's not tefila. It's a mitzvah to just do mitzvahs in general with your heart. Rather, what is so that davening, according to the Ramban, since this is a drasha in the Gemara, so the Ramban says that's just an asmachta, but the Ramban agrees in Parshas Baaloscha that biyom simchaschem, biyom tzaraschem, in the day where you're in trouble, in the day where there's a battle coming to your land, call out those trumpets and cry out to God. That, I'll draw to a close now with this, is that might be what Moshe's mistake was at the rock. Why does Hashem say you didn't show me emuna? Moshe and Aaron didn't have emuna? Look at the opportunity they missed. The people are thirsty. Remember, that's how we learned that the water came because of Miriam. People are thirsty. And I get it. I would give Moshe a pass, for goodness sakes. My sister just died. Can't you leave me alone for 2 minutes? Let us mourn. Our sister just died. No, they're at Moshe's throats. Moshe and Aaron had an excellent opportunity to teach Bnei Yisrael what you do in a Yom Tzara. When my sister was alive, you never thirsted for water. And guess what, guys? When you go into Israel, you're going to thirst for water again. Because the rain doesn't always come, even if everyone's a tzaddik. Sometimes God has a different reason why the rains don't come. You know what you do? What masech do you take out then?
Tainus.
Masech is Tainus. Teach them. Moshe and Aaron is the teachable moment. What do you do in Israel when there's no rain? What do? You pray. You don't hit rocks. You pray. You talk to rocks. God was setting Moshe up. He said, take the stick in your hand and talk to the rock. What did you have to tell me to take the stick for, God? You knew what I was going to do with it. Just tell me to leave the stick behind and I wouldn't have hit it. Moshe took the stick back in Bishalach because in Bishalach we were still hitting things. Now you're coming into Israel. It's been 40 years, Moshe. Bnei Israel haven't learned. They're still screaming at you when they're thirsty. But you know what? You haven't learned either. That's a chisaron in emunah. Because emunah requires that when you come up to a Yom Tzar, you don't start kvetching and complaining and screaming. You pray. And that's what Emunah is. That's Yom Tzara. That's Smichas Gilu Tefillah. That's what we do every morning when we say Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael, and then we start davening. Okay, Chevra, that was Mitzvah 25. No Minchas Chinuch, but next week he comes back in a vengeance. Okay? So next week we're going to do, what I would like to do, to concentrate especially, which the Chinuch does, is the concept of Shituf. Is Christianity Shituf? Is it permitted Shituf? Right? Is believing that God is represented by something else, is that hardcore Avodah Zarah? Is that Avodah Zarah to a Ben Noach? Is Avodah Zarah to a Jew? Okay. Thank you all for being here. Jeremy, welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you so much.